Blog Talk Radio.
You have water?
Yeah.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week, and I mean that literally. to hope you guys have, everyone listening, has had a wonderful year so far. And if you'd like to call in today, we're going to limit some of that, but the call-in number is 347-945-5428. And you can always email questions to radio@realityuniversal or go to realityuniversal.com and send us your questions, information, anything you'd like to send us, and we will definitely get back to you. Today, we are going to, for those of you that are used to listening to us, you know that we tie in our real estate with self-help, with motivational issues, and just a little bit of everything to bring it to the forefront. And today, I'm really privileged to have going to have Teresa Akee on the line, who's a real estate broker in lovely state of Hawaii, and she's going to talk to us about staging properties, real estate, and a lot more. It's really, really, I'm really thrilled that she's got such perseverance to push forward always, and we'll get into that more when she comes on in just a moment. So tune in, listen in, and for the agents and brokers who listen to this, you'll get a lot on staging properties, for which is going to be really informative to you as well. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Teresa Akee. Hey, Teresa.
Hi. Good morning, Natalie. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time from your hectic schedule to come on with us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure. For sure.
I've had the privilege of knowing you since you're with a brokerage in Hawaii, and I've had the privilege of knowing you since, gosh, when's it been, about 2000, was it 2008 or 9?
2009 was when I moved from another company to your company. Yeah.
Wow.
That's been that long.
It doesn't seem like it, does it? It just doesn't seem
like it. No, it doesn't. Not at all. No.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, it's so... There's so much has gone on in that time period, hasn't it? It's just, tell us a little bit about how did you get started in real estate? And I want to back up to you, and your life has been so interesting. You were actually, tell us, you know, where you were born, where you moved, if you don't mind. We'll get through, because it all comes full circle, and it's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I was born in the Philippines, in Manila, and I moved to Guam. When I was 7, and I was naturalized in Guam. So from there, I moved. I know. From there, I moved to Hawaii when I was 20, and from there, I just fell in love with the island, and I decided to stay, and I've been here since then. So that's about 25 years. Ago. So, I know, yeah. And then I was introduced to real estate actually from my second ex-husband, and he was he's still a loan officer here in Hawaii, and I got introduced to it that way. Unfortunately, he was not very supportive. So, at that time when
really?
I was married to him, no, he wanted me to stay home with the baby, and just thought that I didn't have the perseverance or the intellect to do the job. So
an ex-husband. Sorry for butting in, but
yes.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good move that he's an ex-husband and he yeah. thinks that.
Yeah. So I, after 8 years, my son grew up, and I just decided I'm going to do real estate, and it's been a love and passion of mine since then. So
wow,
it worked out. And
yeah, and you're good at it, and wow.
Uh-huh.
So that was what, 2005, you said?
Yeah, no, 2005 was when I got my real estate license.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And I started off with another company, you know, bigger company, and I just gradually decided to
right.
move on from that.
Yeah, how did you get? So you get? Do you now Guam? You still have family in Guam, right? Or do you still
yeah,
go back and
my
forth?
Parents
or?
Are, my parents live there. They're actually staying with me right now, but they're moving back by May. So my parents are kind of old now, so they've been living with me since, and my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer, so we just decided that she should stay here with me and so I can, you know, kind of watch over them.
Oh, I'm so sorry that she, so they're going to stay, are they going to stay on island here, or are they going to, you're saying they're
going to
go back?
Oh, they're going to stay till May, and then they go back.
Uh-huh.
Go back to Guam.
Oh, wow.
But my mom is doing better now. She's got her lung cancer was removed. So,
that's fantastic.
You know, prayers were answered, and she's better.
And she said the health insurance. I guess the health insurance on island is good. I mean, you can use it. It's good either way. I mean,
yeah. Well. That's the thing.
I'm just saying because
of
Guam, being in Guam, and we're part of the, it's part of the territories, right?
Yeah. She has Medicare, so that helped. And she also has health insurance in Guam, so they're paying the other part that Medicare can't.
Oh, that's great.
Can't cover.
Yeah, that's great.
Because
I know sometimes when you're out of the area, you know, it's difficult, and that's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's good to hear. Well, my goodness, you've had so much on you, and then your dad. You're taking care of your dad too, or is he taking care of everybody?
My dad has a mild dementia, so he can't really be left alone for too long.
Oh.
You know, so yeah, he's getting old. He's getting there, and so that's part of it. But they love Guam. They want to go back. Yeah, that's their home now.
You know, for the listeners, since we're going to get into staging and we're going what you're doing, tell us a little bit about Guam, because it seems there's a lot of agents that seem to sell in Hawaii and Guam.
Guam
is with new homes.
It's beautiful. It's like this almost similar to Hawaii. The culture is it's island life, and the people are called Chamorros. So they're the native local islanders. The real estate market is booming. It's the same as here in Hawaii because military, for one thing, is big there. And
a large presence. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of military needs are, well, that's the market pretty much. So. And it's been growing. The real estate market has been growing steadily since then. Since they closed some of in Philippines, since they closed the bases there,
they moved them over to Guam.
Yes. So since it's been booming.
Well, I guess prices are a lot less than. On our prices, right, in Hawaii, pretty much, or?
Oh, no, well, Hawaii is still more.
Yeah.
more expensive.
I know, it's something we can't get away from, right? You know, it's like it just goes,
yeah,
wow, it's just really compared to some places, yeah.
Yeah, you're paying for the weather. The weather,
yes.
And the
you're
culture
paying for,
and all
paying
that.
For the peace and getting away from everything, right?
Yeah.
People are getting away from it all. It's just
yep.
It's funny. And then everybody wants to get a piece of it. How did you because you are so great at staging a property too, and how did you get into, now I know with being in the business all these years, of course we learned some staging tips and we have to get our listings sold, but how did you get your experience though, because you have a real good eye for it and you're really a natural talent for it, to decorate and stage?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually fell into that when I moved here in Hawaii. That was 92. I met this general contractor, and he kind of took me under his wing and trained me to do some remodeling, and eventually I went into interior decorating. So I did the interior decorating part of the business, and he did the general contracting. But I learned how to, do wallpaper, paint, tiles, floors, and all that, everything, drapes and furniture, all through him, just on the job training. And I fell in love with it. So, and I've, since then, that was like 93 was when I met him. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you were doing, okay, so you were actually staging the homes, the new model homes and remodels and things too. Just
yeah. Well, for his business, for his clientele that needed it, and I also did some commercial work too a little bit. So, but I had to quit actually when I got pregnant and. Got married and got pregnant.
right.
So that's another start.
That's your second. That's your baby. Yeah, that's good. That you had to quit, huh? Well, it's the wonderful thing about real estate is you can work from home and still raise your family, and but probably not when they're a baby. You know, it's real tiny. It's just trying to work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real estate now, though, with the internet, it makes it so much easier, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't get started. My real estate career didn't start until my son was 8.
You were doing the other first already.
I was after I got after the remodel decorating. I did start my own business when I left, when I got divorced shortly after. I started my craft fair business. That's where I made most of my income from that point till I started my real estate career.
So craft fair business, were you actually, tell us a little bit about that.
I started off with creating baby items, which was like photo frames was a big thing that I sold. I just designed different photo frames for kids and babies, and somehow it just, people loved it. They thought
wow.
It was cute, and they loved seeing their kids in this, you know, in the different designs that I had for the frames. But that was basically what I started off with, and then I ventured off to other things. So I did that for 7 years.
Go ahead.
I chose to do it that way because it was easier for me to be with my son, and I just didn't want anybody else to watch him. And I didn't have family here, so I couldn't depend on. I was afraid to, you know, leave him with
That's
some
great.
Stranger. So
Absolutely.
I decided I would just yeah. So I decided to just be the care for him, and I didn't want to miss any of the important things, and you know in. Their young life, so I didn't want to miss that. So I got both, both worlds. So
that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Uh-huh. And then, but you must you have a definite flair for decorating. You definitely do, because that's craft fair. Were you doing it at the stadium or your own? How were you selling your product?
Oh, it was all over the island. I did some in the Blaisdell, in different schools and different events. Some of them had craft fairs. So I did it all year long, and usually Christmas is the best time, actually the busiest time. So that's where I made most of my money. It was during the Christmas.
And you were doing it before the internet. The internet was popular. Now I get you could do it and sell it online.
Oh yeah, So
that's great. So you killed a couple birds with one stone, and you better be able to be a stay-at-home mom and do it. And that's fantastic. And that's what I love about the internet now, that people can do that, and easier now than when you were trying to do it, or when you were doing it.
Yeah.
7 years is a long time to do it. That's you must have really loved it. So
I love creating and designing. I seem to have a knack for it. I don't know. I just I guess it's my God-given talent.
Sounds like it. Definitely sounds like it, because it's and you love it. And when we love what we do, it certainly shows, doesn't it? It really does.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes. It is one of my passions. So, and I was able to combine real estate and staging, which is a bonus for me.
You blend everything into, isn't it? You blend everything you learn. It is a huge bonus. Yeah.
Yeah.
The houses all need to be staged pretty much, because the way we live in a house and the way we sell them are two different things. Wouldn't you agree? Even if somebody lives in their house and everything's always in order and spotless, and put it in, mine's not always in order because I'm busy. But I mean, if somebody the way we live and the way we sell, right, is two different things, right? And we have to stage it. And so tell us, let's get into a little bit of the staging. And if you want to give us an example of a property you did recently, or was that, like, I think you mentioned Eva Beach. If you want to give us an example of what you did from start to finish, because then I'd love to get into some tips that we can help our listeners with too as well after we go through all that.
I could absolutely do that. My last staging project was in Kia'unui, Eva Beach. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. And the sellers were actually living in Spain. And the house was being rented, and the renters were moving out, so they decided to instead of getting a new renter, just to sell. So from start to finish was my job. I did everything, you know, cleaning, getting the house prepared for showings and all that. So what I did with that is that I usually just go in first thing, just take a look at the house or space, and just kind of figure out what needs to be done. And usually the first step is to deep clean the house and make the house shine. So that means clean the kitchen, bathroom, flooring, basically windows, walls, and furnitures, if that needs to be cleaned. The outside and the inside of the house has to be cleaned. If there's anything that needs to be repaired and replaced, you do that, you know, like light fixtures and plumbing fixtures and all that stuff. And then another do is I declutter, which means, clear out
everything.
Now, this
particular one in Eva Beach, was it empty when you took it over? The tenants moved? Is that what you were saying? The tenants had already moved?
Yeah.
Or were they?
The tenants moved.
Okay, so it was empty.
Something, yeah. So I had to look at, it had to be cleaned. For,
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So you have
this
a company come in and do real
replaced.
Deep cleaning. And really? Okay.
Yeah. They replaced the carpet and they repainted the walls. because the walls were in bad shape and the carpet, and so that's what we did there. And if it wasn't empty or vacant, you'd have to declutter and depersonalize a home.
Right, it's not empty. That's what we're gonna. Uh-huh. I had a seller one time years ago in on the East Coast. This is back in the late 80s, early 90s. It was early 90s. And they had pigs. They were into pigs, collecting pigs and pigs. The house was beautiful, gorgeous, huge. It was just gorgeous. But and then the pigs were cute, uh-huh. But they were collected pigs, you know, they had little ornaments. But everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
like in the kitchen, in the living room, and all these places. And it's like the way we live in a house and the way we sell are two different things. And I couldn't get all that. We did sell it, but I couldn't get her to get those out of there, you know, because it was everywhere.
Yeah.
But you kind of need to, right?
And you have to remove all those personal items.
Yeah.
That's a suggestion. The key is to make the house neutral so that the buyers can see themselves living there. That is the key.
So how do you – so this house in Eva Beach, you went through – tell us what you did with the empty – you got it – had it cleaned, got it cleaned.
Got it cleaned, repainted, carpets changed. Once all that was done – also the landscaping was redone. They had a gardener. We hired a gardener to get the landscape worked on. And then I just went in, and after it was all done, I kind of just stay in the house and just each room and kind of figure out what the scheme and the color, the theme or in the scheme, color scheme of the room is going to be. So that's where I decide, okay, this is what I'm going to do here in this room. Then I create that scene.
And then you so you actually put a theme. So did they have to paint a lot of the house too, or just touch up?
The whole walls were repainted because the walls were each room.
The reason I'm asking these types of questions is, and you can appreciate this, Teresa, from being in the business a long time. I find many of us agents, brokers all over, you know. You and I are both brokers, but I found so many people are saying that have been in it a while, oh, my gosh,
mm-hmm.
These people are watching these TV shows on you know, buying and selling, right, the flipping shows
mm-hmm.
and, the, you know, all the shows, I won't name all the names, that are about real estate, and they get really enthralled because they're seeing different areas and getting to view it, and it's really interesting, but so much of it is staged in what they say or what's actually happening, right? And we're finding a lot of people, I've noticed the differences from before we didn't, you know, from the old days, they're wanting brand new, or even on a resale, you know, they're expecting a model home when you're selling a resale. And this is where your staging comes in and making sure it's spotless and doing everything. But we're seeing such a different world now, you know, because the old days where people realize, hey, if I get what the layout that I want and the location's number one, then me as a buyer, you as a buyer can make changes. But of course, people want to reflect it in the price, et cetera. But that's what we were always used to. You know, the main thing is making sure your client, customer gets the location that they want and the bones so then you can change things around if need be. But we're seeing a lot of people nowadays, you know, it's surprising to me because I've seen so much, but of course I'm not the buyer and the buyer hasn't seen thousands of homes, so they're going to be particular. But, so is that, do you kind of think from that frame of mind in it, it has to be absolutely perfect? Of course we want it as good as it can be, but
If it's in the budget, within the budget, then I would make suggestions on what they can do based on what their budget is. And if they can't do certain things, then you just work around that and just make sure safety. They couldn't paint the walls. You just make sure it's spotless, it's clean, and just work with what you have. What's within the budget?
Work with what you have. So go ahead. I'm just kind of throwing that in there because have you seen it a lot? Have you heard that? Doesn't it seem like people are just much pickier than they used to be? And I'm not saying people shouldn't be. Don't get me wrong. You're paying a lot of money for a house, and on islands, we're paying a lot of money for houses, right? But some things just shouldn't have to be perfect, or they can negotiate. What are you seeing?
It actually helps if you just do a little bit of staging. But yeah, I've noticed that too. Those are usually where the buyer tends to buy. So it's it helps.
It's different. It's different. So uh-huh. About Elba Beach, then we're getting, so you went in, you did the I interjected there because of, you know me, but you did let us bring it back to there. You did that. You got the gardening, painting.
Yeah.
The
house had a beautiful backyard. So I took advantage of that and showed a entertaining space for the family. It was just beautiful the way, how it was enclosed with the palm trees and everything. It was a beautiful setup. And if there is no backyard or no space for that, even if there's a little tiny space that I can find in the house, I'll create some kind of a seating arrangement or seating area where you can lounge and do some reading. This is for the outside of the home.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So then how did it, how long did it take about from when you're getting it ready to stage? Was it to get it ready to get it so you could it be on the market?
Yeah, this one was actually the one in the Evan Beach house. That was probably 5 days from start to finish.
That's it?
From start to finish. Yeah, 5 days. I also, that's including taking the photos, the professional photos, hiring
wow,
somebody to do that.
Wow, that's really fast to me. 5 days and you actually had that includes someone coming in cleaning and the painting, or that's before that?
Oh, no, just the actual staging part was 5 days. But
okay.
To do because I had the walls had to be repainted and the carpet replaced, that part, the cleaning and getting all that, the house. They left some stuff too, so I had to get some rid of that. But the tenants, that is.
Wow.
So it took about 2 weeks for that.
Wow, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all. Because I bet you.
2 weeks.
So
and then,
did it sell? Did it sell?
Oh yes. We got over 13 bid offers, and we sold it within. I had received an offer. My first broker's open, first day it was on the market.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So
and
this.
We actually closed.
So
we actually closed sooner than we had than 45 days, which is a normal standard closing.
And tell
but,
us,
yeah.
If you didn't, if nothing was done to the house, so say it just got cleaned and maybe they replaced the park carpet, do you think it would have been a lot less than what they would have gotten? I think that staging it made such a difference, right? In the
actually, this property sold for more than we listed it for. So multiple offers. No, I don't think it would have sold fast and gotten a higher offer than if it wasn't staged.
That makes sense. So how much is it when you're on Oahu and then the other? Well, you could fly to Outer Islands, but you're pretty much doing the Oahu. How much? How do you figure out? And of course, there's certain. I'm just asking for our listeners too because I want to. Do you when you're listing the property? Are you including the staging in that, or are you saying, hey, I want you to pay? You need to pay the costs. Like, of course, the homeowner pays for the cleaning, any painting, things like any actual costs, or do you charge a fee? Tell us how you handle all that.
It depends on the scale of the job, the house. If it's something that square footage, as if I can handle that, and I kind of just give that it's with the, it's in the my how do you say my fee my commission fee is included.
Okay, so
it's included
it
in there. Yeah, if it's bigger scale, then of course I'll have to, to discuss that with the sellers or owners.
But now you should they should pay for cleaning and any painting or carpet and things like they should pay for the actual materials
that part,
anything
yes,
like that.
The cleaning and the repairing, the seller takes care of that. But the actual staging, putting, that part is all inclusive.
You know how we offer menu programs, so it's the full service. Of course, on the full service, of course, you would be, you're including that with the commission. Then we have the 1%, and then we have our flat fee minimum service because people want to get in and do it themselves. What would you charge? What would you find that that's a, I mean, what would you charge for something like that? If somebody says, hey, I want to do it, but I just want to pay you outright to do the staging and get everything for it to do your expertise. Because I think some people, you see people charge by the hour or by the job. It really seems to make sense to be able to at least have a minimum from a business standpoint if you're doing it as an a la carte situation, which you may not want to. But.
For how I would do it, it's per room. And per square footage, depending, it can run from anywhere from $250 to $500 per room.
Okay.
If I was not, if I was just to charge them flat rate for just staging.
What about a consultation fee just to come out and to give them some ideas? Or is that not done?
I usually don't do that.
Okay.
It's part of the listing presentation.
Which makes sense. It makes sense. I'm just asking a lot of questions, like, the consumer is going to ask. And so that's right. So, no, that makes a lot of sense. So they're really getting a lot of – and then what about the furniture? Do you have, if it's empty, do you rent furniture or do they have to rent it? Or?
I use mine, whatever I have. From on my inventory, and if I don't, then I'll rent it. I'll rent, and then that's where the fees will come to. I would probably ask the seller to do that if I don't have it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So actually, new home developer builders, and they bring get their models set up and everything. That and this you can do that too. So that's a really nice bonus to throw it in with your listing. I'm really that's a really nice bonus because to throw in the staging and so we're gonna get.
I always offer. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You do it, because I want to get so on the top when you're going in. So with cleaning, like if we say there's cleaning, you said make everything neutral. Of course, fix anything that's needing painting. Look at the yard, fix up the yard. These are items that they should do all the time, right? Because what about, I want to touch on the part about keeping it neutral. I've always, all these years, we've said, make it as neutral as possible because somebody else can come in and put their own, their own personality, colors, whatever they'd like. Do you suggest having them, doing it to a certain point, say the house is empty, or it could maybe not be empty. We have lots of scenarios where someone says, well, we're willing to replace that floor. We're willing to replace the deck or do something or give a credit or the carpet because this is ruined or we have to fix this. It's obvious this is broken. Do you find yourself a lot saying, well, let's give a credit or let's offer it and let the buyer pick their own color, pick their own whatever, because they're gonna have their own needs. How do you feel about that versus let's get it done and pick our own colors?
I believe it's part of if the seller or the owner has a time frame that they're working with, then I would suggest them to get do the work themselves and if it's within the budget, but. If not, if they have some time, then, or if they don't have the time, then they could just put it on the market and just sell it as is, but just make sure that it's clean and it's decluttered and everything that's, not supposed to be there taken out or put in storage. That's my recommendation.
I like that recommendation. I want to because I know I over the years I always sold new homes and resales. And if you're selling a new home, you're pushing the new colors. Buyer picking out all their own. They're getting warranties. If you're selling a resale, mm-hmm. you're pushing, the landscaping's already in, you know if there's any problems, you know about, you know, the house has already been sitting for a while, you know, there's, you can usually get a better price or negotiate on different things that you might not be able to on a new home. But then on new homes, you know, so it's easy to sell either, you know, handling it a certain way, I found. So that's good. That's good. Because sometimes would you recommend, I'll ask you a question. Say that you walk in a house and it's empty and you are going to stage it and it needs carpet throughout the whole house. Would you recommend having all the, and the carpet, maybe it had pet odors, and we know that can be, it can be pet odors that are just easily cleaned, or it could be where somebody actually had the, you know, the urine was in the carpet, and then it has to be, the floors, it may have to be ripped out, you know, it's possible, just depending on the situation. But if you have it where it's like, it definitely needs carpet throughout the whole house, would you recommend, let's rip the carpet out? And not if the budget, let's just say money doesn't matter, nothing matters. And that's, I think, with my open-ended question, it kind of really does depend on what's the price of the house, how much money do they have, what market are we in? Because would you recommend that they rip out all the carpet and stage everything else and make everything beautiful and then put up the signs and also let everybody know sellers will pay for carpet, but, and you know, certain grade, they'll pay up to so much for carpet, it's good to get bids so that they're not stuck with trying to pay more than they should be, buyers to pick out colors.
Oh, you mean like just ripping out the carpet?
I made that an open-ended question because there's so much.
just rip off the carpet and it'll be bare floor, bare cement, is that what you mean?
Yeah, it could be bare cement or it could be subfloor. It could be bare cement or subfloor or whatever.
Oh, okay. If the carpet is just gone, done, you can't fix that. And even if you would try to do some professional cleaning for the carpet, yeah, I would make a suggestion to just rip it all up and put a new flooring that's within the seller's budget.
Would you put it carpet in, or would you just say let's leave it as long?
Yeah, I would do that. Leave it, or it all depends on what the seller has or what the budget is for that. If they don't have the money to get it done, I would rip it up, take the carpet off,
and then give a credit. Because I've always felt like, but again. It's really one thing I've learned after all these years in the industry and dealing with so many personalities and so many people and geographically in many, you know, different areas, is that the home is for that whoever the buyer is, they're buying that home just because, you know, a seller can live in a home and love it. The buyer may have a total different totally different decor, right? Furniture, layout, everything, because we all have our own personalities. Mm-hmm. And so that's why some of the houses that sell fast, like you said, staging it, somebody will walk in a home and it's like, oh my God, that person has it. They have all this stuff like just like me, and they feel at home and they buy it, right? So it's, but with different personalities. But overall, depending on, I mean, if you're selling a $5 or $10 million property or you're selling a $200,000 property, I do think that each individual situation can be pertaining to, like you said, what their budget is. Or what the cost is going to be, because I've seen where a lot of people would prefer to pick out their own colors, or somebody might want hardwood, or tile, or carpet.
Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
We get in the islands. A lot of people want tile, and I still like carpet, which now it may sound crazy, but I still like a mixture. You know. So I just think that it's a tough call, isn't it? Because, but you can always play with that too, and give a budget. You know, try to. Because I think it's nice if people can.
The example with the Keanuunui house in Eva Beach, it had carpet in the lower floor, and the stairs, and the second floor, all in all the bedrooms, but the bathrooms and the entryway had ceramic tile, so it was it was actually damage was done in the mostly on the lower floor and on the stairs.
Right.
And because there was carpet in the stairs, it just didn't look weird to just pull off those carpet and replace just the bottom floors.
Right.
Because of the way the carpet ran into the second floor. So it had to be, all the carpet had to be replaced. And that's an example. So it's,
right,
every
that's a
situation
good example.
Is different.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can
so
advise them and see. Exactly.
Yeah,
and they, and the cost, what it's
going to
be.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Because we, I want to, yeah, because we, I know they have to, they need to declutter. And I've always told people, what do you think? Like, start packing, you know, get everything off the counters, get everything packed in boxes and get, you know, so that less is better when you're selling your house.
Yeah, especially in the kitchen area, just to clutter, remove all the clutter in the counter space, drawers, cabinets, and you know, you can probably leave one daily item in the counter, mm-hmm. kitchen counter. You can do that, and just kind of keep it less is more, kind of this.
When you think about having them put stuff in boxes, I know it might sound silly, but maybe like some things that they use every day that they're like, oh my gosh, I'm putting it out, I'm putting it back. Just set up a couple small little baskets or boxes that they could just put it in, and then when they know there's a showing, stick it in. Of course, people are going to open the closets, but stick it in a closet or cabinet or just somewhere where it's going to be out of the way, but they don't have. Because I'll tell you, the way you live in a house and the way you sell them are two different things, but if you bite the bullet and deal with it, you're going to sell it faster, and then you're not going to have all those showings, right?
Yes,
if you're in it,
exactly.
If you're in it.
Uh-huh.
So that's
yeah,
and then
the
you
meantime,
think if the furniture, if there's some pieces of furniture versus no furniture, it's funny, a lot of people can't visualize. You and I can, I guess, because we've been in this so long. You know, you have to go in and you see the end picture. But
yeah,
some people can't visualize, so you're just kind of catering to everybody, right? Catering to try to
yeah, so
get the
that's
highest
what
and best
agent kind of helps too, because some buyers can't visualize what the room is for, so you kind of set the, you can give them ideas what the room, you can use the room for, what you can do, and then they, you know, they fall in love with the house. Say, okay, that's a good thing, I can do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they.
So, do you, any other staging tips you want to? Because I want to ask you. You have been amazing. Like you're part of today when we're talking about staging and going through everything. And then I wanted to say with what you're doing, and now you're taking care of your parents, and it's just you're going on and on. You got surprised by an illness so quite a while ago, right? Was it 2010? Or
yeah, 2010 was when I got diagnosed.
Do you mind telling us a little bit? Because we've talked about it, so I'm not bringing this up without your permission. But you know, so many people love to see or know how people persevere and don't just give up, you know, because there's a lot of things that happen to us in life where sometimes it's easier to just say, I quit, I give up, you know, and that's not a good way to do it. You have been remarkable in your journey. So if you don't mind sharing about that, and then we'll come back around and loop around and give a few more tips on the staging. Because we're down to like 16 minutes left. We didn't even throw a commercial in. See how fast it goes?
Oh, 16 minutes? Okay. yeah. In 2010, that was summer of 2010, was when I got diagnosed with myelodysplasia syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's a bone marrow disease, bone marrow failure, and eventually it was a couple years later, 2010. It was actually a complete bone marrow failure. So I had to have an emergency bone marrow transplant. So I was in City of Hope,
I
California.
They flew you to California from Oahu, right? Because I remember.
Yeah, I was hospitalized in Kaiser, Moanalua for like almost 38 days from November to January. And this is right after Thanksgiving. And then in the beginning part of January was when I was in Kaiser, Moanalua. And then I flew over to California, City of Hope, to get my transplant there. So where I stayed at City of Hope for 7 months, from February to August 2013. So I was there for 7 months. I was away from my son for 7 months. He was 14 at the time.
And your daughters are older, right? Your daughter's older.
Yeah. No, I have another son.
Oh, your other son.
Yeah,
I know that. I don't know what I'm saying. Because I know. Okay, how old is he?
Yeah, so he's
much older.
He's much older. He's 30. He lives in Texas.
Hard.
Mm-hmm. And I had that transplant. My older sister was my donor. And my sister, actually the same, this disease I have is the same as Robin Roberts. I don't know if you know her, but she's in the Good Morning America, I guess. And she had a myelodysplasia disease just as me, and she had a transplant, bone marrow transplant. So the disease is, it affects your blood cells, the bone marrow makes the blood cells, and because mine wasn't working, I didn't have enough blood cells. I didn't have red blood, white blood, and platelets. So I was, a couple of months there, I was kind of just walking around with practically no blood cells. So that's when I had to get my emergency transplant, and it was very fortunate that my sister was my perfect match, my older sister.
That is a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That and keep a and you. What were your original symptoms? What were the symptoms?
It started off like very mild. I would probably say 2002 was when I started, as far back as I can remember, the symptoms I was having. It was like shortness of breath, being tired all the time. I always get sick with a cold always constantly, and it would take me a few months to get over it. And I would get bruises, really huge bruises that won't go away. Yeah. And I'd be like, how did I get that? I don't. I didn't know what it was, but because the only way you can detect if you have the disease, myelodysplasia syndrome, is through a blood draw, and you have to check it through the blood cells. So that's how they found out my illness. that was 2013. February 2013 was when my transplant days. Yeah, February 1st.
Unbelievable.
So I'm actually four years old this year.
That's fantastic. And how are you doing? Because you seem amazing. You keep going, and you're just a testament to what makes you persevere. What gives you that strength?
My two boys have always been my inspiration for everything I do. So it was them that I had was where I got my strength. And also through my faith. My faith is very important. And family.
God is, yeah.
My family was very instrumental in that. And, I've always had that attitude of don't quit and to persevere and to, having a positive attitude and just being positive.
It's just incredible because you're good. And now, how are you? I remember a couple times you having, I don't know if you call it a relapse or what, because I remember coming to see you at Kaiser. I think I brought you a Bible and stuffed animals. I can't remember what I brought it to, or a couple books to read. it or something. I remember besides, and I was like, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, cause, but I, was that like a relapse or was that just, I mean, how does that, it's.
Well, after the transplant, I had a graft versus host disease, and that's when my sister cells and my cells are fighting each other. They're not getting along. So that's where I had all these medication that I was taking. I was taking probably like 50 pills a day, and just to, you know, for different things that was going on, and it was mostly just to control, make sure that, you know, my cells and her cells, my sister's cells, were getting along. So it just made them calmer. And it was, you know, that's why I stayed in City of Hope for so long, because of that. They were trying to control that, because a lot of people do die from graft versus host disease if it's not controlled.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that, because it's natural that our body would reject anything, right? Reject any type of transplant, because it's not, it knows it's something that's not yours. Oh, wow. Because I know a couple times you were, and you just keep on going, and you're doing great now. Are you finding your energies back, what does the doctor say about the time period that, you know?
Well,
blood not rejecting.
Right now the transplant was a success. So I actually, you know, great news. Yes, I was, it worked, and I don't have the disease anymore. And it's a miracle. Another thing that happened with me during my transplant was that 7 days after I received my sister's cells through, I actually received her cells through IV. They collected her stem cells, her baby stem cells, and they injected it, or they put it through the IV to me. And at 7 days after that, I started having complications with the transplant. My lungs started bleeding. So I was bleeding internally, and I also had really high fever. So they were trying to control my fever and also trying to stop the bleeding in my lungs. So during that time, I was induced. I had induced coma. So I was in coma for probably 2 weeks. They didn't stop the bleeding till five days after. But what they, you know, they... Actually, my doctors at City of Hope didn't even think I was going to make it, because my survival rate at that time, during when I was in ICU, was, they said that my survival rate was 2%. So it's a miracle that I'm walking.
You are a miracle. You are a miracle, and you're. I think you're. God bless you. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Now.
Yes. I've been during that time, while I was asleep, my mom and my sisters would pray constantly, and I heard them. Well,
you could hear when you were in the coma.
Yes, I heard them praying. Wow. I heard them talking to me, and it was a constant prayer. I just heard, so it was prayers help. You know.
Oh, God is real. God's very real, and you're a testament to it. And I'll tell you, what do you tell people that don't have families, that don't have any support? That just hang in there and pray and lean on God. But what you live this, and you have the, what do you say? Because your fighting spirit, I have no doubt, is what brought you here today. You know, to this point. And like you said, you don't believe in quitting, and a lot of people do go ahead and quit. And that's what they. What would you say to them?
I would definitely say don't quit. And your mind is a powerful force. So if you make yourself believe that you're not, that you can do it, believe that you can conquer, anything in life. That's what I believe. For one thing, I never, when I first got diagnosed with the disease, that was 2010, when my doctor told me what I had, I just, for some reason, I was not fearful. I don't know why. It was just, I just kind of believed that I was going to pull myself
you
through this
it.
And I was going to do what, I knew it. I just knew that my story was not going to end this way. And
God
that's
had
why
a bigger
I
plan
persevered.
For you. God had a bigger plan. And you know,
I was, because of my faith in God, I knew that He didn't want this for me.
Just imagine how many people that you're going to help with when they hear your story and with what you've done, and you're a testament to it. And I can testify to your energy now. When you were going through this before, oh gosh, your energy was so low, right? And it was just impossible. And now you're back to your old self, getting, you know, going through it. It's just, it's a miracle. And, you're a walking miracle to be able to talk about it. And I can imagine how many people you can help that are going through situations like this that just want to quit. And you don't quit. This too shall pass,
even though we
go through the deepest part. Yeah.
Don't quit and just wait it out. And just...
Time.
Time will heal you. And that's part of,
I love it. Yeah. You know, Mary Morrissey does, she's been doing speaking training for 40-plus years, and she does a thing where she says she had a bad kidney disease back in the 60s when transplants weren't common at all, dialysis wasn't common either. It was just starting, I think. And a minister came into her room and told her, in the hospital, and they were taking one kidney out, and the other one was going to, they said she might have like 3 to 6 months to live, and she had a six-month-old baby at the time. And they were telling her, make your plans. And she was only 17 years old, I believe, 16, 17. And she tells the story, and she said that the woman came in and said, I want you to know everything's created twice. You know how like God, it's in our mind first and then created, or God created us and then, it's the thought and then the creation, right? Just like when somebody's building furniture or they're coming up with medicine or they're coming up with that, there's the thought, it's created twice, right? In the mind and then created. The woman kept saying that to her, and she's like, well, do you believe that you could be healed by tomorrow? And she was like, no, not really. Now, we don't have time for me to go in the whole thing. I'm just summing it up. And then she said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, I heard you have a little boy. And she said, well, I want to teach. And yes, I want to see my son go to kindergarten, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, well, I want you to start picturing that and imagine it. Of course, they prayed. And I want you to keep picturing it constantly, something to look forward to, right? Do you know?
Yeah.
They operated on her the next day and took one kidney out. Within weeks or a couple months, her results got better and better and better. She totally healed. And she's a testament now today, 40 some years later. Yeah, teaching people this. So it's amazing.
Yeah,
God's real.
It's amazing. Exactly. And that's how I know God is there. I mean, I knew it before, but I know it even more now, so because of what I've been through it's just, like I said, everything.
Amen.
That,
yes.
I heard my mom praying. She constantly prayed. She never stopped praying. So.
Yeah. Gosh, oh my gosh, we're at the end. I always want to go long. this isn't enough time. We have to get you back because the tips on the stage in your property. They're here and you've got it. You can, Teresa Key. Let me give your contact information. You want to give your contact information real quick?
My cell phone is 808-429 1504. That's my cell. You can contact me through the website, company's website.
Yeah, we'll forward you to Teresa too. And oh, thanks so much for coming on. We running out of time about the staging, which was so informative too. And you're a miracle. You're definitely a miracle. And
yeah,
a blessing. You're a blessing to all of us. You really are, and I appreciate you. So,
Thank you. Well, I appreciate you too, Natalie, very much.
Thank you.
We've gone through many years, so
yeah.
It's.
we really believe in God, don't we? Because we have gone through a lot together. Oh my goodness. Yeah, and there's a reason for it, right? There's a reason for us. We are non-quitting people and caring. I think that's the biggest thing too. Having that heart and caring about what the outcome is for everybody else, right? Makes a big difference.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're
exactly.
going to wrap back around and say goodbye because it's already at the end. and thank you, Teresa, and go through
it.
And
you
to
for
everybody
having
out
me.
There, thank you. We'll talk soon. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.